Legal Experts, a podcast series from Radio Verulam in association with Stowe Family Law. In episode 14, Phil Richards talks to Sarah Snow about rights and prenuptial agreements in civil partnerships versus marriage, house ownership prior to marriage, inheritances as part of a divorce settlement, and legal responsibilities when a previous partner finds a new family.
Now, we're chatting with Stowe Family Law's Sarah Snow. Welcome to the programme. Good morning. I think I spoke to you about a year ago.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Welcome back. How are you? Okay?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Thanks for having me back on.
Now, first one, how do I register a civil partnership and do I have the same rights as in marriage? Plus, how do I dissolve it if things go wrong, Sarah?
All right. Well, there's a few points, obviously, to this question. Firstly, in terms of registering civil partnership, you must give notice of your intention to register it at your local register office in the same way you would a marriage. And you'll need to give the date and place of where you're going to have the ceremony take place. You need to get what's called a civil partnership schedule, which will be needed at the time of registering the civil partnership. So I would suggest go down to the local registry office and they will be able to give you all the information you need to undertake that. In terms of the second part, does it have the same rights as marriage? In short answer, yes. It's simply an alternative way of people being able to regulate their sort of financial affairs and also show their commitment to each other. But it doesn't have the same sort of patriarchal connotations that marriage may have, which is why people have been championing so much for opposite-sex couples to have civil partnership as well. So in short, yes, it does confer the same rights. In terms of dissolving it, it's called dissolution of a civil partnership if the relationship does unfortunately break down. And you do that in the same way as you would a divorce. The court consider the financial matters and financial settlement in much the same way that they would a divorce as well. So I would advise that it's important to go and see a lawyer. A divorce lawyer will be able to help you in order to make sure that you are making the correct applications and that the court are considering the appropriate circumstances and that you get a fair and reasonable settlement.
Right, okay. Now, this is a first for me because I've read this question about three or four times now and I still don't understand the question. So I'm hoping you do. Maybe you can explain it a little bit to us as well. The question, is my house owned before marriage marital property in the case of a divorce?
Okay. So what they're talking about here is a property that's purchased by one party to a relationship. And then after the purchase is the same, they enter into a marriage. And what they want to know is, would that house be considered within a financial settlement as available for distribution between the parties, i.e. would the party who doesn't own the property, would they have an interest in it? And the short answer is that, unfortunately, there's no short answer. It's not a question of a yes or no answer because it really depends on the circumstances. When the court look at a financial settlement, they look at a whole range of factors. One of those factors is contributions. Now, this would be classed as a potential contribution case because one spouse brought it into the marriage and the other spouse doesn't have any ownership legally to the property. However, what they will say is that if there is a financial need for this asset to be shared, then it's likely that the court would consider that it should be available for distribution. So in a short childless marriage, the court might say, well, okay, this should be kept out of the matrimonial pot. However, the longer the marriage, and if there is any children of it, the court may say, well, if this is the only asset, it's needed to meet the party's needs. And as such, irrespective of whether it's only held in one party's name, it should be divided between the parties and taken into account. So there's no real way of excluding assets that you own in your sole name from an overall financial settlement, save if you enter into a prenuptial agreement. And that in and of itself isn't a guarantee, but it's a starting point and it demonstrates to the court your intentions.
Fascinating and fascinatingly complicated as well.
Well, unfortunately, there's no easy answer, I'm afraid. No.
Right. Now, following the change in the law, I am a woman who now wants a civil partnership with my boyfriend. However, 3 years ago, I signed a prenuptial agreement What legality does the prenup to agreement now have in the case of civil partnership rather than marriage?
Well, a prenuptial agreement can be entered into in respect of a civil partnership in the same way it can in respect of a marriage. I would say, however, irrespective of whether they are getting a civil partnership or entering into a marriage, that it's important that they enter into a new agreement, because 3 years is quite, sort would mean it would be quite outdated, I would imagine. And it needs to be an agreement that is up to date and reflecting the most current circumstances at the time of entering into a marriage or civil partnership. So such a huge gap might be seen as not reflective of the party's needs anymore. If, for example, they'd had children in those 3 years, or one party had gathered quite an amass of financial wealth. So a prenuptial agreement entered into 3 years ago may no longer be relevant, and it would need to be updated or a new one drafted. But the crux of the question is, yes, you can enter into a prenuptial agreement in respect of a civil partnership, but I would suggest that you enter into it no more than sort of 6 months to a year prior to your wedding date, because it needs to be as up-to-date as possible.
All right. Now, I guess this one is all about timing, good timing or bad timing, depending upon who you are and how you look at it.
Well,
I wish to divorce my wife of 12 years. Will she be entitled to half of my inheritance that I've just received from my mother's estate, and I have not put the money into a joint bank account, but an account held in my name only?
Again, not a straightforward answer, I'm afraid. It comes back to the idea of what's considered matrimonial property, i.e. joint property, and separate property, non-matrimonial property. Now, inherited assets and whether they should be included for distribution are considered by the court when looking at financial settlement, but they again look at a number of factors, the most important being, again, the needs of the parties, which is the overriding factor. And they'll also look at how far the asset has been intermingled with the remaining matrimonial assets. For example, has it been used to purchase a joint asset or pay down the mortgage on the family home? That would show that this inherited asset has actually been firmly put into the joint endeavours of the marriage. In this case, however, it has been kept separate. It's been put into a separate account, as the person states. But ultimately, so he would have a stronger case, really, of suggesting that it should be kept out because it has been kept separate. But ultimately, if there's not enough other assets available to meet the party's needs, then the court would consider that that should be included for settlement. I think, ultimately, the family law system is so discretionary, and there's such a huge wide range of orders that the court can make, taking into account a number of circumstances, that unfortunately there's no one-size-fits-all, there's no yes or no straightforward answer. So where you have issues that do involve a complex factual structure or financial structure, it is important, it's imperative to get the right advice.
All right. We're with Stowe Family Law's Sarah Stowe, and we're talking about family law, and Stowe Family Law, of course, with branches over the UK, including St Albans. Now, final question then, and my wife is now cohabiting with another woman and our three children, plus another woman's two children. Am I legally obliged to be financially responsible for all of them?
Well, this is a very straightforward answer for once. No. You're only financially responsible for your own children. He won't be financially responsible for the new girlfriend or the two children.
No, I thought I could answer that one even. That's been fantastic. Absolutely amazing, fascinating information there from Stowe Family Law. And thank you very much for joining us on
Radio Verulam
again.
Thank you for having me.
All right then. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.